2 weeks ago, a guy who was 78 years old, his name is Ulrich Klopfer. He died. Well, he died, and then his family discovered something horrific hidden away in his property. He had carefully preserved body parts of 2,246 people that he had killed. Now, this story is just broken here. You may not know his name, but the coroner's office in Wills County, Illinois, is requesting the removal of the bodies, help in removing the bodies. Police are investigating over 2,000 bodies, which makes him by far the worst serial killer in U.S. history. Now, why haven't you heard this story? I'll tell you in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
2,246 dead people, all on the property of this 78-year-old man who had been killing these people. This is a new story. It is in Illinois. His name is Ulrich Klopfer. Now, how is it that this story broke on Thursday? No red flags on this guy? I mean, he was in a small town. He was in Gary, Fort Wayne, and South Bend, Indiana. South Bend, Indiana. You probably haven't heard his name, at least linked to mass murder, because he was an abortion doctor. And his industry is defended tooth and nail by the press and by the left. Now, here's Dr. Klopfer. He did have his medical license suspended 3 years ago. 3 years ago. The guy was 78, by the way, when he died. 3 years ago, he had his license suspended for failing to exercise reasonable care and violating several notice and documentation requirements. You see, he was neglecting to report abortions he performed on two girls under 14. And it probably was just an oversight, I'm sure. I mean, what's a couple of 14-year-old girls when you've killed thousands of kids? Just another day at the office. Now, just like Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia butcher, whom the media was pleased to ignore, Dr. Klopfer's backyard morgue had 2,246 babies that will remain mostly anonymous, at least on a national scale. I want you to think about this. Here's a guy who was performing these abortions at home. He had a suspended license. Imagine if there was somebody who had a suspended concealed carry and just killed 10 people. Imagine what the media would be saying. Democratic Party has made it an airtight part of its platform, defending a woman's right to kill her unborn child, even seconds before birth, even after birth. No matter what they're saying now, as we pointed out last week, what they said was killing the child after birth. And it's happening. It's a brave and righteous path. Shout your abortion. Democrats will scream for justice for any persecuted group on the planet, including the animal kingdom, except for one, the unborn. During the testimony before the Indiana Medical Licensing Board 3 years ago, which had this guy's license revoked, it was revealed that Dr. Klopfer had performed an abortion on a 10-year-old girl who had been raped by her uncle. Klopfer, who is required by law to report it, did not report it. Instead, he sent the child home with her parents, who knew about the abuse but refused to prosecute. This guy was an expert. He began performing abortions in 1973, right after Roe versus Wade. He was described by a Fort Wayne, Indiana paper as likely Indiana's most prolific abortion doctor in history, with numbers going into the tens of thousands of procedures in multiple counties over several decades. The testimony during his medical board hearing revealed that he had been using the same abortion and sedation procedures since 1973. He only gave pain medication to women under 16 years old or to those who could pay extra. This seems safe and rare, doesn't it? He didn't have staff on hand to monitor the women he did sedate or to help during emergencies. Yet he boasted to the panel that he had never lost a patient in 43 years of performing abortions. Well, it depends on who the patient is. Over the year at his abortion clinics, inspectors found multiple consent form violations in which abortions were performed on women within an hour of signing their consent form rather than waiting the 18 hours between consent and procedure as required by law. Imagine we have a 3-day waiting period and somebody only waited 2 days for it and then used their power to kill, to mutilate, and keep the bodies. Imagine what would be said. They also found an unsanitized medical instrument, a whole group of them, and staffers who took home the soil linen to wash. A refrigerator meant for medication storage contained a 2-month-old abortion specimen, otherwise known as a child. A clinic staffer explained that they were waiting for the remains to be picked up by a detective investigating a rape case. How could you get rid of so many bodies? The total blindness of abortion defenders is incredible. This is the kind of help that you're fine with? We found two of these monsters in the last couple of years. Two, not one, two. And you're comfortable with this? All of us at the Whole Women's Health Alliance are shocked by the news. We are proud to serve a community with high-quality abortion care services that respect the dignity of women and families. Really? This guy's been there for 43 years. He buried almost 2,500 children in his backyard. They're shocked by this news? Stockpiling baby parts, and you're shocked by it. Nobody said anything? By the way, only a local news station has reached out in South Bend to Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He hasn't commented on it. There's no response. His office must be scrambling to figure out how to be outraged by the discovery of these bodies, yet continue to defend abortion. The mental gymnastics can't be easy, but then again, he's the guy who said a lot of parts of the Bible talk about how life begins with breath. Holy cow. I guess this makes Dr. Klopfer's sick trophy collection totally okay with so many people. Today, I just want to spend a few minutes on the crazy things that the left is paying attention to. Crazy, crazy things. They say the greatest threat to lives in America today is climate change. And when it's not climate change, it's guns. But Dr. Klopfer's collection of over 2,200 preserved bodies of aborted babies, which is more than 3 times the number of Americans killed by shootings on school campuses since 1973. Those 22 babies, just a fraction of the estimated 50,000 plus abortions that he performed during his life. And that's just one doctor in one state. How many more of them have little collections of their own? Were these 2,200 children special to him in some reason? Is he collecting them because maybe these were the abortions that he really wanted to shout, that he was so proud of? 2,200 trophies. If the left is truly concerned about mass killings of children, boy, they really don't know where to look. This, we live in a crazy world. A crazy world. We are possibly, and I don't think so, because I think Donald Trump may be exactly the right president to have with the world itching for war. I just can't see him going to war with Iran, and I thank God for that. But boy, is Iran itching for a war with us. With all of the things that are going on, the oil situation alone, it's up $20 today. Why? Because Saudi Arabia had a drone strike on one of their biggest oil fields and has shut down oil production of about 5% of the world's oil. That's significant. And it looks like Iran was behind it. Now, they say it was the Houthis, but where are they getting a drone? And really, they're funded by Iran. Really? Do you really think they're just like, you know what? We're Houthis. Let's just do it. We don't care. Let's just go on our own. We'll have more on that coming up in just a few minutes. But this is crazy. Crazy. Then you have Beto. Can we play the Beto who says he's been talking to Texans? I'd like to know who these Texans are. Listen to this.
We are proud of gun ownership, but responsible gun ownership that would never entail threatening somebody with that firearm. And so using guns to hunt or for self-defense makes a lot of sense to us here in Texas. Mm-hmm. But having a weapon of war, and even from those Texans who own AR-15s, they've told me this themselves. I don't need this. Mm-hmm. I don't need it to hunt. I don't need it to protect myself. It was fun to use. I like taking it out to the range. But if giving this back or cutting it to pieces or selling it to the government helps to keep us safer, then by all means, let's do it. Because they'll tell me, I have kids in school as well, and they ask me whether it's a matter of when or if a killer is going to come into their school and take the lives of their fellow students or take their kids' lives.
Wow. So would that killer be the guy who wants to give up the gun? I mean, because why would the guy who's giving up the gun, you know, if this is going to help, this is going to help, because I know it's just a matter of, it's not even if, it's when. I know a killer is going to come into my kid's school. If I knew that was true, I would be there with my gun waiting. I would be demanding that the school has armed personnel around. You know this is going to happen. And so what do you do? You, as a law-abiding citizen, give your gun away or cut it up? How does that make sense at all?
Right. You're basically admitting you're worried about you committing a mass shooting.
Right.
Right. You could say, like, I want everyone else's banned, but I want to keep mine because I know I'm safe. Right. Like, that is a progressive position, right? Everyone else is going to be the bad guy, but I'm okay. These people are apparently coming to him saying, look, I'm actually the problem. Because the only way that you selling your gun back to the government is going to make the world safer is if you were going to use this gun in a terrible way.
Let me ask you, Stu, how many Texans that own an AR, a weapon of war?
Right, you've already decided to do that. Think about the person who's that profile. It is one of the most popular sporting rifles in America, but not every liberal is going to buy them, right? Hmm? These are people who care. It's not the first gun you buy either, right? It's a gun that you buy, what is there? 50, how many
it might
million?
Be, it might be a. There's 20 million. AMs.
20 million. I was going to say 15, but yeah. So we have 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 million is, again, it's not the. It's the most popular modern sporting rifle, but not nearly the most popular gun in America. Mm-hmm. If you're a gun owner, it's typically not the first gun you go out and buy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to probably like guns. You mm-hmm. like going to the range, mm-hmm. like shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily going to be some hardcore anti-gun person that would ever do that. So these people have already made the decision to go buy an AR-15 and are now telling Beto, you know what, you're right. I can't wait to turn this thing in because, gosh, you never know when I'll just go into a school and start shooting it. That is a weird person. That's a person that, let me help you with this, doesn't exist. This is
in California, maybe. In California, maybe.
I think it's more of a thing where people tell you what you want to hear. Now, besides the fact that he's obviously making a lot of this up, right? Like, first off, straight up lying, right? He's just making up people that don't exist when he comes to these large numbers. But has somebody in line at an event told him this? It's possible. That doesn't mean that you should believe them.
Hang on just a second. We're talking about Beto. Have you heard his new song? Is it a new campaign music?
No.
Yeah, go ahead and play it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
So it's nice. Is he playing this himself? It's very nice.
No, he's got a little monkey that's playing it.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
it's really kind of cool. But so I want to take him dead seriously here on what you were saying.
He really is at the point where it's just like, what's the issue of the day? Okay, what's the craziest thing I can say? Okay, take that, triple it, and let me go make a statement.
It is
the press.
An absolute. He's
so
circus.
Desperate.
He is. He is. He's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Please look at me. Please. First of all, anybody who started, we could stop it. Anybody who started their campaign with saying to the people, I'll be whoever you need me to be. Tell me who you need me to be.
And he's proving that today.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's seeing, well, I didn't get any traction with trying to be the sensible one here. So let me go further than everyone else and see if that one works. Because at least at the end of the day, I can get a nice, I can be on MSNBC. When this thing falls apart, I can go to a think tank.
He's completely meaningless.
Oh, I agree.
He's completely meaningless.
You see the media totally embracing him now that he's taking all these crazy stances, right? But I mean,
but nobody else is. The media might, but nobody else is.
But like, how many times have we had this call from someone in the audience?
Hi, lifelong Republican or lifelong Democrat, voted Democrat every single time, but this one time on the election that's coming up is the time I'm changing. There are people, obviously, who are lifelong Democrats and have switched on every election we've ever covered.
Mm-hmm.
However, all those people seem to find their way to call us right before the election.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me believe, as we found out recently with reports among Democrats,
seminar callers,
Democrats actually did have a program in the 90s with Hillary Clinton. This just came out. It's in his museum. The Clinton Museum has the documents showing that they actually did recruit people to call into talk shows to make their points and try to sound like they were average everyday people.
I've always been with you guys, always. But this time, I got to give up my gun.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to give up my gun because it just makes total sense. But let me tell you something. I used to hunt lions. I used to hunt tame lions. I hunted lions in the zoo. And how I'd hunt them is I would shoot innocent elephants that would fall on the lion. But now, this one time, I got to give up my guns. I got to give up because it just makes sense.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
We are proud of gun ownership, but responsible gun ownership that would never entail threatening somebody with that firearm. And so using guns to hunt or for self-defense makes a lot of sense to us here in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
But having a weapon of war, and even from those Texans who own AR-15s, they've told me this themselves.
Really?
I don't need this. I don't need it to hunt. I don't need it to protect myself. It was fun to use. I like taking it out to the range. But if giving this back or cutting it to pieces or selling it to the government helps to keep us safer, then by all means, let's do it, because they'll tell me I have kids in school as well, and they ask me whether it's a matter of when or if a killer's going to come into their school and take the lives of their fellow students or take their kids' lives.
Right, and that's why they want to get rid of their gun. We have a fellow Texan on. You're a fellow Texan?
Yes, hello, hi.
Hi, how are you? Lifelong Texan,
Lifelong Texan. Right. My name is Big Tex.
Big Tex
is
your name.
That's what people call me, is Big Tex.
Right.
I'm so Texanish. It's are you speaking right now?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Sorry, my cowboy hat was in the way of my ears.
All right.
So I couldn't hear you speaking to me because I'm from Texas.
You're that much Texas-ish. You're Texas-ish.
Yes. In fact, I'm so Texas-ish that I like the Dallas Cowboys and I like BBQ sandwiches.
That's barbecue.
What?
It's barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue sandwiches. That's
yes,
right.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And so I'm one of the people who spoke to Beto.
You
in
did.
Line. I did.
Really?
And I told him, you know, I'm so pro Second Amendment. We love the Second Amendment
right.
here in
okay.
Texas.
Right.
I have AR-15, an AR-12, and right. an AR-29.
All right.
I have all the AR.
All right. So you're not just just going for 15. You understand them because you have all the previous
right.
like AR-1,
and
AR-2.
I have high capacity ammunition for them.
Right. Okay.
Which is really people need to know about that.
Of course.
And I said I would gladly handle. Mm-hmm. I am the type. I at first loved my guns, but now I know if I can save one life in a faraway town by giving up my firearms,
right.
that I will do that immediately.
Huh.
And I told Beto that, and I told him that last week I drove by a police station and just threw my guns out onto the parking lot because I wanted them to come collect them.
Right. Well, that's
because I just wanted them to be out of my hands. And some very nice gentleman from a couple of blocks over came over and picked them up. So they were taken in.
All right.
Take it in.
All right.
Also, I just wanted to also say that when I was talking to Beto, I decided to abort my kid.
Right.
We're going to be all set with that.
Well, were you for abortion the whole time?
I was told I'm a Texan, so I was against abortion.
Right.
But I talked to Beto, decided to just start aborting kids.
Right.
Yeah, started up a practice. Done about 12 so far.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting thing to learn about. A little gross, honestly. But,
right.
But we're getting good on that process.
All right. Good.
And
Texas is changing.
Texas is totally changing. All my friends used to think the Constitution mattered, but they don't now. They all hate it.
Right.
They hate it. It's old. It's dirty and dusty.
Right.
So
okay.
I've given up all my guns, and I'm now defending myself with slingshots.
Okay, and you are and you're supporting Beto.
And I just want to say, BBQ sandwiches, Beto all the way.
All right, thank you very much. Another average Texan here on the Glenn Beck program. I mean, Beto is right. Texans are giving up their guns left and right.
I think they're really in favor of tax increases now, too.
Are they really?
Yeah, they really want them. Yeah,
yeah.
They all think they make too much money now.
Right.
I've talked to a lot of Texans
who
have spoken with Beto,
Can I tell you, I talked to a Texan that was talking
to Beto. Did he talk to Beto?
He had talked to Beto.
Okay.
He used to fly the come and take it flag.
Oh.
Okay. That's how Texans really feel about someone coming and taking firearms away.
Mm-hmm.
They have a historic flag around the concept that just says, come and take it. But I was talking to that guy, and he not only flew that flag, he was making those flags for years.
Did he make a lot of money on them?
Oh, he was filthy rich.
Yeah, millionaire.
And he said, you know what? I feel as though I'm responsible for all of the killings.
Yeah.
And I said,
and the hatred.
What did you? And he said, I was just making flags. And he said, so I am giving up all of my guns, all of them. And I said, wow, do you think that's a really good idea? And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Texan.
Right. And was he fixing to kill a lot of people? And now
but he was so upset at his lifelong conservative Texas friends who didn't see eye to eye that he said he was fixing
to kill people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so then he was going to turn in his gun.
I talked to another Texan who was just
mm-hmm.
out, you know, trying to shoot for some food.
Mm-hmm.
And
what happened?
Up from the ground came this bubbling crude.
Texas gold?
Yeah.
Oil, that is.
And and he was really upset because he's like, now I've got an oil spill. These damn guns.
Oh,
it's an environmental catastrophe. Catastrophe.
He's probably in prison now.
By the way, Pat, you know another catastrophe?
What?
Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I want to play AOC because she's the expert.
Oh, we know that.
All right. So here's AOC on Miami. Listen.
When it comes to climate on the scale of the crisis. Because what's not realistic is Miami not existing in a few years. That's not realistic.
You're right. That's not realistic.
No, I don't think that's the point she's making here. She's saying that Miami will be gone
in a couple years.
No, she didn't say a couple. She said a few. That's five, maybe six.
Okay.
So let's not throw Miami in a panic. All right?
All right.
It's not two, Miami. Relax. It's not two. You've got 5 or 6 years to get the hell out of here because it's going to not exist in just a few years.
Where will it go? Does anyone know?
I hear it's moving to Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That'll make Atlanta and Miami really big.
Huge.
Right?
Huge. If you're in Atlanta, huh. Huge.
Stay there because lots of people are coming.
Your price of your house is going to skyrocket.
Wow.
Because Miami's moving your way with the buildings and everything. But it's going to be underwater.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be underwater.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like Atlantis.
Exactly like Atlantis.
Yeah.
You mean the casino, right?
Yeah.
It'll be just like that. Now, in case that's not enough, we have one more piece, Pat, that I would like to play for you.
Okay.
Because, the world's, on the brink of war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen there. Our economy and China and all the things that are happening around the world, the fact that they're... are 50 million slaves today that are enslaved, but during the 400-year history of the slave trade, the Western slave trade, there was 12 million slaves. But we have to concentrate on that and not on the 50 million. I want to play one more thing because this, I think Ilhan Omar has really nailed it here. You could worry about Miami. You could talk to more Texans who want to give up their guns. But I want you to hear what she said. Here's Ilhan Omar talking about migrant centers.
We arrived in Ghana, and one of the first things we did was to visit what some would say is a castle, but they were dungeons. He started giving us a description of what used to take place as the Africans were held there as captives.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he gave a description, I'd had this sort of flashback.
Mm.
And that image was from today.
I couldn't stop
seeing images of the current camps we have here at our borders in the United States.
Exactly like the African slave dungeons.
Same thing. Same exact thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're right. She nailed it there.
She nailed it.
You can't say anything else other than...
I've talked
she
to a lot of Texans.
Yeah.
Just this
Do
weekend.
They all agree with
they
what she said?
All
of them?
Agree with them. Well, there's
they
one
They talked to
guy.
Beto first,
there's
right?
There's one guy. Yeah, they were talking to Beto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I didn't talk to him. He talked to him, and then he told me that he had talked to him, and I was trying to sound cool
right.
by saying I talked to him, but he talked to them. And all of them said they're giving up their African slave camps now.
Wow.
All of them.
Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were like, I'm a Texan, and when you're in Texan, where you're a Texan, you have to have like a African slave camp or a dungeon in your house.
Yeah,
and they're all saying, "I'm going to board mine up."
Wow,
I'm going to board mine up.
They're tired of being sex slave masters.
Yes,
tired of it.
Dungeons, they hate them now.
Wow,
they hate them.
I'm keeping mine.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I haven't talked to Beto, so I don't see anything wrong with it. Yeah, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes,
please. A story I didn't understand, but again, I'm one of those stick-in-the-mud Texans now.
Mm-hmm.
The Kavanaugh story.
Oh, yeah, it's powerful, isn't it?
Powerful.
Powerful.
Powerful. Now, the New York Times had to come out and correct the story saying, oh, by the way,
she doesn't remember any of this.
The woman who is the, quote, victim has no recollection of all this. Uh-huh.
But we're telling her it happened to her.
Right.
So we reminded her.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I think it's very, very positive.
And I love how they called it a fresh story. Just 40 mm-hmm. years old, that fresh story.
Well, also, all the senators knew about it at the time, and the FBI actually vetted this story and found nothing credible.
Right.
Because she didn't remember it.
Yeah, I don't think they did an investigation on this particular one.
I think they did talk to her, didn't they?
I don't think so. She's refusing to talk about it. All of her friends are saying, like, yeah, she's talked to us about it, and like, she doesn't even remember it happening.
Uh-huh.
So you'd think if it was this massive assault that it occurred.
And I love the massive assault, too. It's a strange assault.
Okay, may I just point out? Okay, let me just, I don't mean to be graphic here, but here is what they accuse Kavanaugh of doing. He had no pants on, so he was naked from the waist down. He may have been completely naked. We don't know.
That's what Texans do, right. Even though he wasn't Texan at the time.
Yeah, okay.
Or any other
time.
So
he had his pants off, okay, and he was walking around a party, and I am not kidding you. They say that his friends thrust his penis into the hands of a woman.
And she doesn't remember this.
And she does not remember it. So I want to know, how do you thrust someone else's penis
into someone else's hands? Yeah.
And if that happened, wouldn't the problem be with the friends and not Kavanaugh? Well, he wasn't.
Although he shouldn't have been walking around without pants. Yeah. Let's face it.
You should wear pants.
You should wear pants to a party. They're picky
if
like that back east.
So I just want to just leave you with, don't worry about anything that's really happening in the world.
Yeah, nothing.
All the politicians and all the media, they've got it all settled for you. They can tell you exactly what you need to pay attention to today.
Gee, I wonder why the news ratings are going down and nobody's listening to anybody.
The Saudis had an oil refinery attacked this weekend, and it is really important that we understand the full ramifications of this. We're going to try to do what the mainstream media won't do, and that is help you understand this story coming up in just a second. We believe that it was Iranian proxy militias that attacked Saudi Arabia's oil production infrastructure. It knocked out half of their total output, about 5% of the world's global oil. The Saudis contribute about 9 million barrels a day for global consumption. 5 million of that is now offline. This was a major, major attack. Oil has skyrocketed. It's up 19%. The price of barrel has risen over $11 now. Saudis say that they can repair the damage within 30 days. They have reserves that can maintain things for about 30 days. What if there is another attack and we have Iran itching for a fight? Just itching for a fight. I don't think this president is going to give them that fight, which is exactly the right thing to do, I believe. And we'll talk about this and bring all of this together and how it affects you next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.